A bit over a week ago, the world celebrated International Women's Day. And one of my strongest sheroes turned 86. I'm speaking of RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, truly a hero in my life. When asked how many women would be a good number on the Supreme Court, without batting an eye, she said 9. She said women need to be at every table where decisions are being made. And she, with the help of advocates, with the help of people who supported her, rose to the pinnacles of power and has made phenomenal changes and differences in our country because of her leadership. And I suspect there are many people in this church who join my wife Nancy and me in praying continually for her health as she continues today on the bench of the Supreme Court. It was a really high honor for me when my stepdaughter, Alicia, declared me an honorary wise woman. She had a group of friends, female friends, who gathered together to support one another, and she invited me to one of their gatherings. And they unanimously decided that I was indeed a wise woman, even though I didn't look like it. You know, I suspect the women of Jesus' day would have declared the same about him. He had an affinity with women throughout his ministry. And boy, do we see it in the passage that we read today. As Jesus says, "O Jerusalem, how often have I wanted to gather your children together as a mother bird collects her babies under her wings." This is actually a difficult gospel lesson as we see Jesus confronting a bully. The bully that Jesus is confronting is Herod. Jesus hits a rough spot before entering Jerusalem. The Pharisees basically are attempting to scare him off, or perhaps we can be kinder to them and say they're just trying to warn him that he better get out of town because Herod is looking for him. But Jesus responds fearlessly. Fearlessly. He pushes back and he calls out Herod. His heart, Jesus' heart, is breaking because the powerful are threatened by his message of love, which he so desperately wants to give. But with these beautiful words, the mother gathering the chicks under her wings, he stands up for the love he represents. He's unwilling to be bullied, and he's fearless in his trust in God. And he will be an ally throughout his whole ministry on earth and to this day of the powerless, the poor, and the outcast. An ally. We all need allies at different times in our lives. They come in all shapes and sizes. It's scary to speak truth to power. It's hard to do alone. We need others to help us, to support us. We need a community. We need allies. I love the fearless girl statue. Anybody know where it is? Wall Street. It is now. It was out on the Bowling Commons in front of a financial investing firm, standing in front of another investing firm's giant bull. And here was this child standing in front of the bowl. And look at the expression on her face. It then got moved to Wall Street along with the bowl. But it was more than just a statue. It was a statement by State Street Global Advisors that more women needed to be on the boards of directors of the major companies of this country, and more needed to be in executive leadership. I think currently she's on tour in London, spreading the same word to other countries. It had a significant impact. Gillette is another corporation that's been trying. They reached out to men with an ad trying to say, come on, guys, let's change the way we do this. We need to be allies. And they took a lot of heat for it. It's hard to speak truth to power. It's really hard to do it. But combined with the Me Too movement, now there are far more women involved in the leadership of our companies because a cohort stepped up. I appreciate that companies are speaking to other companies, cohorts to cohorts. It's much more powerful than any other voice. It says, corporations, this is our problem. This is not a woman's problem. We have the power and we have the responsibility to fix it. And so they threw down their marker. I love the allies that Laurie House Anderson names in her autobiographical poetic memoir, Shout. It only came out this week. I heard about it on NPR when I was commuting up here, and I checked on my Kindle, and sure enough, it was available, so I grabbed it. She also wrote the novel Speak, but this one is an autobiographical prose poem. And what I shared with you this morning was one chapter in that poem, that book. Leslie, musician in her attic. Mary Poppins with a Jersey accent helps Laurie get past her being branded as stupid. Name calling is so very difficult. That's not the way we treat each other. But she was being branded as stupid because she couldn't read. So Leslie takes her to the library, patiently teaches her to read. Carnegie, an immigrant himself, builds a library to help her and others. The librarian says she can, of course, take out all the books, just not all at the same time. And so, with a little extra Leslie help and a chorus of angels disguised as teachers and librarians, for years unstinting with love and hours of practice, those ants finally marched in straight lines for me, shaped words, danced sentences, constructed worlds for a girl finally learning how to read. And aren't we glad that she did? Because it led her to write beautiful poetry like this. So we can be allies for one another. And friends, for International Women's Day, I need to ask your patience for a moment. I want to speak to my own cohorts, to men. Men, let's figure out how to be allies. How do we do that? Well, we listen. And we listen. And we listen again. We find out what it's like to grow up female in a male-dominated culture. We leave silent spaces. We don't jump right in with the answers or to fix it. And guys, I gotta tell you, there ain't no mansplaining. We don't mansplain. We don't feel like we have the right to explain everything from a superior man's position. So with our male cohorts, what can we do? Well, male friends, take a risk. Call out unruly behavior. That isn't like us to act that way. Say that to people when you see it happening. Don't let hurtful, dominating talk stand. Saying nothing is to unwittingly affirm it. And we can't let that happen. Because, guys, misogyny is a men's problem. And we have to fix it ourselves. And for gosh sakes, can we get together, men and women together, and finally pass the ERA, please? We're only one state shy of passing it. One state. And you know, Arizona can be that state. We're starting to tip. Can we all get behind it and push? And push it over? It's important to state unequivocally that in this country, we believe that men and women are equals. To all of us, men and women alike, can we make love our guide? Diane Stark wrote a beautiful piece applying 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 6 to her daughter. I suppose we've all had crushes early in our lives. They happened to us, and her daughter had a crush on a boy. She writes this: when my daughter had a crush on a boy, I asked her to place his name in the passage of 1 Corinthians 13. She did. Sean is patient and kind. Sean does not envy or boast. Sean is not arrogant or rude. Sean does not insist on his own way. Sean is not irritable or resentful. Sean does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. She frowned. I saw him pick on another boy in the hallway. I guess he wasn't very kind. She began to rethink her interest in him. This verse has not only given my daughter greater discernment about others, but it's also helped her reflect on her own behavior. I asked her to substitute her own name into the passage. Because when we do that, we become the right type of person for someone else to like. Can we substitute our own names into that passage? Plug it right in there. How about the name of our church? Can we plug the name of our church into that passage? Rincon is patient and kind. Members of Rincon do not envy or boast. We are not arrogant or rude. Members of Rincon do not insist on their own way, are not irritable or resentful. Be allies, friends. Be allies. Together, we can make each other stronger. And we can make each other truly brave. I pray that it be so. Amen.